So, as we now know, Manchester United have a new manager, and that manager is ex-Sporting manager Ruben Amorim. And we are here to discuss today whether we think Amorim will be a success at Old Trafford and how that kind of success will come about and what it looks like from a tactical persuasion, really. So, to start us off, obviously, from Amorim and his play style at Sporting, we know he tends to favour the 3-4-3 system. Now, this is one that interests me straight away with Manchester United's current playing squad, because I think that sort of system requires a lot of energy, it requires a lot of focus, and also it requires a lot of concentration. You'll have the energy there with Manchester United as it is currently right now, but I do worry about the other two points that I've just made there, especially in terms of the fact of, you know, you need to be defensively like high and sort of aggressive, as well as being able to be quite front footed and quite counter attacking on the ball. But Matt, I'm going to come to you first. Would just talk to us about how you sort of see the 3-4-3 system of Amorim's fitting in with United's current playing style.
Yeah, well, I think first of all, the fact that there is such a clear system that we know Amorim likes to play is a big positive, because that was something that was always a big criticism leveled at Erik ten Hag, was that you couldn't really tell, you know, how he liked to set up the team. There didn't seem to be that clear plan. So the fact that there will be one is immediately an important step forward, that the players themselves will go into each game knowing what the style is, what their roles are. One obvious thing that a lot of people have already pointed to is Manuel Ugarte. It was actually Amorim that signed him for Sporting in 2021. So you've already got a player there that will have that inbuilt understanding and experience of playing in that system, and will be able to impart that knowledge onto the other players. I think obviously it is going to be very different to what we're used to, so there is certainly going to be an adjustment period. But when I've been researching it and how he likes to play, I think there are actually players in the current squad that it may well get the best out of.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I just think if we're looking at that system from back to front, really, I think, you know, you're going to be playing, well, we expect United now to be playing in a back three with quite high wing backs and wing backs that are probably equally going to be asked to do. You're going to be doing a lot of running, aren't you, if you're a wing back in that system, really. You have to be as much of an attacking threat as you do solid defensively. And I think that's something that really interests me, because I wonder how he's going to play it. Like you were saying off camera, you could see, you know, him starting with two out-and-out defenders. But I wonder whether he'll try and tuck some of the wingers into like the wing back system, and maybe you could, I'm not saying this is what I'd do, but maybe you could see Garnacho play off the left wing back in the system to give you a bit more of an attacking threat. But Shady, I just wanted to come to you, obviously, like looking at that system. First of all, obviously Matt just said he thinks he have players for certain areas, but if you think of a back three, you need the sort of defensive stopper, and then you need a ball-playing defender, and then you probably need one that can do a bit of both. Do you currently look at United's defensive setup, especially the centre-backs, and think they've got all three of them type of players already, or do you think that will be somewhere that they might need to exploit in the market?
Yeah, the thing is, they've been signing so many quality players over the last couple of years, with Martinez and De Ligt, and even Maguire, if we want to go back a couple of years. But in regards to the 3-4-3, I think the biggest issues for this team is actually the two wide centre-backs. We've got Martinez, the very likely scenario against Ipswich, for example, in the first game, that we're going to see Martinez, De Ligt, and possibly Euro if he comes back. So I think the biggest issue is actually with Martinez. Those two wide centre-backs are going to have a lot of ground to cover. So that's a problem, I think, for Martinez. I don't think he's able to perform in that way. So you need a physical centre-back in that position. And in addition to, you need to be able to play with the ball. Although I think De Ligt has been a decent signing so far, I don't think he has the capability of playing in that system like a Lenny Yoro. Lenny Yoro is a much more capable player on the ball. Quite surprisingly, I think we can see Maguire go back into this team. I think the back four has not suited Maguire over the last couple of years, and him playing as a central centre back, I think that could be his best position. And I think he may actually gain the trust of Amorim.
I think that's interesting a little bit as well, because it's funny how I was watching the England game yesterday, and I turned around to who I was watching the game with, and I said, with Thomas Tuchel coming in at England now, and him probably wanting to play back three, could you maybe see Maguire break into a back three, because that's where he is comfortable? And I think it's going to be the same sort of dilemma for Amorim at United, really. Obviously, he's not probably in a, his best trait is his heading and probably his defensive capabilities. And maybe Maguire isn't the elite level centre half, but every bit of good work that Maguire's ever done for England and for United in patches has been in a back three. And I think that's where he's most comfortable. So I think that'll be a really interesting one to pick up on. I just wanted to identify, I've got three names to discuss with you boys about. So we're talking about players that need to fit the system. And of course, they're going to have the core there that'll be able to do it. You mentioned Manuel Gatti already being there and how important that relationship will be. I think somebody like Kobbie Mainoo will thrive in this system as well. Fernandez has that sort of leadership sort of mentality that you're already looking for. But there's three sort of signings that are sticking out to me straight away when I think of this system and I think of how it gets improved. I'm thinking instantly a wing back, and even though Diogo Dalot was United's player of the season last year, and rightly so, I do think if you want to be at like elite level, you can look at an upgrade on that side. And my personal choice in this system specifically for that would be Bayer Leverkusen's Jeremy Frimpong. Because, you seen it last year with the work that Xabi Alonso was doing at Leverkusen, how much of a, not just a solid defensive outlet he was, but he was also one of Leverkusen's brightest and most prominent attackers. And this is what you need in a 3-4-3. You need that sort of up and down bombing fullback, and I think he would just fit that system perfectly. So obviously that's the first one we can discuss. And then I'm thinking, like Shady just said, I think you need a better ball playing defender that can probably either complement Yoro in the back three, or even just provide a little bit of, I don't know. I was going to say a little bit of cover to Yoro, but I do think this player currently that I'm going to mention is better than Yoro, but he's obviously a little bit older, so Yoro's got the potential. But I think he should tap into his contacts at Sporting and go for Ganacio, the centre-half. I think that would be a really interesting signing for United. I think he's really young himself. I think he's 23, 24. And he's got all of the sort of physical attributes that would thrive in this system. You know, he's strong on the ball. He's got pace, because that's the other thing. In a back three, you need at least one of your centre-halves to have good recovery pace. And I look at that United set system at the minute, and no disrespect to any of them United centre-halves. They're all good. They're all physical. They're all strong. But I don't think any of them are blessed with pace. So I think you need to bring a centre-half in with pace. So Ganacio would cover that perfectly. And then obviously the main one, and probably the Busabank one, and maybe the one that might come in the summer, not necessarily in January, of course, these suggestions, is the Swedish monster, Viktor Gyökeres. Now, in this system, and obviously the fact that he's been working with Amorim this season, and he's turned him into an absolute goal machine, I just think this spells a danger for any of United's opponents, if this does come off. But we were saying off camera, obviously, Haaland is only young. He has got lots of potential. So would it be very unfair to sort of give up the project on him straight away? But then when a natural-born goal scorer is on the market for a reasonable price, do you just go and pull the trigger? But then also, where would that leave somebody like Joshua Zirkzee? I think there's so many that this is a thing for Amorim, isn't it? It's not going to be the smoothest transition because there's so many unanswered questions at United and this United squad at the minute. But I just wondered what you boys thought of them three suggestions and whether you agree or whether you have any more names that you could see coming in at Old Trafford maybe in the future.
Yeah, so I think when you have, you know, three starting centre-backs, I think the squad depth is even more important than it would be, you know, if you're playing with back two. And I think that is definitely an area that I can see us going into the market for, because it seems likely that Victor Lindelof is going to leave, if not in January, probably next summer. Johnny Evans, I think, has been a fantastic servant for the club and has probably done a lot better than anybody expected. In his second spell with the club. But in all honesty, you know, you're talking about needing to have that pace, carrying the ball out from the back. At his age, I'm not entirely sure if he's going to have that. So when you've got, and let's face it, he may well retire in the summer. So when you've already got two centre-backs that are likely to be moving on one way or another, then I think it makes it almost inevitable that there is going to be, you know, some movement in the market from United there. In terms of the wing-backs, again, because it is such a key part of Amorim's system, again, I think it is inevitable that we do go into the market there. I think Mazraoui has been a fantastic signing. And it's interesting because he was the one that was almost seen as a bit of a bonus when we signed him and De Ligt in the summer. De Ligt was the one that sort of got the headlines, got everyone excited, but Mazraoui was the one who sort of, oh, we signed him as well. Cool, extra option, nice one. But if anything, he's been the best of the summer signings so far. And Delow, I think he's really well suited to this system with his crossing ability going forwards. But I do agree, I think as good as he has been, you can upgrade on him. And I think if there is any possibility of getting a player like Frimpong in, we should absolutely go for it, because, you know, we already know that he can thrive in this system. In terms of the forwards, I think with Højlund, making him the backup wouldn't necessarily be giving up on the project with him. I think actually long term, making him the backup could be the best thing for him, because I think when he first arrived, we would have ideally wanted him to be that backup rather than being the main man.
Mm-hmm.
Because the biggest issue with him has been lack of service. We saw when he had that run of, I think it was 7 games in a row he scored in last season, that, you know, he's got it in him to get the goals when he gets the service, but being the first choice main man is a lot of pressure for a young player that is still developing. So I think if we could get in somebody like a Gyökeres, who, you know, we know excels in the system, we know can come in and instantly be that main man to get the goals, and then have Højlund to come in, I think that would actually be even more beneficial for Højlund in the long term. And so Gyökeres is the obvious one, but it's inevitable we're going to be linked with Sporting players. And of course, you know, we saw only a couple of weeks ago his performance against Man City. So I think, yeah, those three that you mentioned would all be fantastic signings.
I think it's really interesting, and I'll come to you in a second, Shady, because I've got a specific question I want to pose to you. But like I said before, maybe for me, Joshua Zirkzee hasn't set the world alight at United so far this season, but I am 100%, like, I'm knowing that, you know, the Serie A is completely different pace of football to the English Premier League. You know, it's going to take a while for him to get up to speed. But say you do bust a bank on Gyökeres, yeah, that's Gyökeres, Hodgland and Xerxes. So can you see somebody that's gone from being, I know it's a different manager, but gone from being one of Erik ten Hag's priority signings in the summer to then go into maybe third choice and probably beyond requirements? Because I think that's a really interesting sort of viewpoint to look at it. You know, I guess you can never have too much quality, but I don't think you could have three top-level strikers like that vying for one position. But maybe that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of tough decision that Amorim's got to make, because in all honesty, you know, when I was looking at our performance so far this season for the article I did last week on what Amorim can realistically achieve, the biggest glaring deficiency was going forward. Because we've actually got the fourth best defence in the league, and I believe what Onana is actually top of the Golden Glove standings, incredibly. So in those areas, we're actually pretty much where we'd expect to be. But on the flip side, we've got the fourth worst attack. You know, only three sides in the entire league have scored fewer goals than us at this point. I think they're all in the bottom six. So it's pretty clear from there that the options that we've got right now aren't good enough for where we want to be.
Yeah, I agree. And Shady, I'm going to come to you before we move on to the final part of the podcast. But we're talking about incomings for a rebuild. But also, if this is going to be a rebuild like we think it is, there has to be a big proportion of outgoings as well, to not just balance the books, but also there's going to be players that Amorim just deems not good enough to play this system. What sort of like window or summer window do you think looks like for United from an outgoing point of view? Who do you think are some of the players that will be gone straight away? Obviously, I know we've talked about Johnny Evans and we've talked about Victor Lindelof, but who are maybe some of the other ones that you think he might have tougher discussions and tougher sort of decisions to make on in this system?
Yeah, we've got the usual culprits where we, like Matt said, the Lindelof of this world, and maybe Maguire if it doesn't work out, possibly the likes of Luke Shaw because of his injuries. But I think a very interesting one, I was writing an article about it, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, is Rashford, Marcus Rashford. Mm-hmm. Now, I think this is a crucial couple of months for him. Because if it doesn't work out, if he's not able to find his form or find his place in the side, which I think Amorim is going to put all his efforts in to try and bring back Rashford's form, because I think it's very simple. If you bring back Marcus Rashford to his very best, that's an asset to any side in the world.
Yes.
So, but of course, on the other hand, we've seen the complications of Rashford. It's not just his attitude that has been talked about for so much time, but just the overall performance. That last performance, was it against Leicester? That was quite sad to see. Not sure what was going on with him in that game specifically, but that was really sad. A player that we've seen over the last couple of years that no matter the situation we've been going through some tough times at the club in the last couple of years with him. But he's been always the type of player to excite you. The player that every time he receives that ball, you know that he's going to try and take that defender on. Sometimes we've just not seen this. over the last couple of weeks.
So no, I think I think it's really interesting with Rashford because, to me, you know, he shows, I guess it's the inconsistency of, like, strikers nowadays, but when Rashford is on it, like you said, he is unplayable, you know. It was only two seasons ago that he hit 30 in the season, and, you know, he was having the season of his life, so he's got the talent and he's got the ability to do it. But if I'm being honest, I think you can look at this twofold. I think United and him should have parted ways in the summer, and I think he should have gone to play his football somewhere else just to get that, you know, get that confidence back and get that sort of back now. But I think it's really interesting because the media have been reporting in this country over the last few days that he's going to, Amorim's going to put him, like you were alluding to, his full faith into Rashford and actually give him that number nine jersey for a little bit. So we've just done a whole section on, you know, Victor Gyökeres and Haaland, and he might not even be the two strikers in the forward, because if we're to believe the English media, then it could be Rashford's number to lose, or, you know. So I think that's a really interesting one. But just to move on to the final part of the podcast now, and I just want to cover this very briefly, and Matt, I'll come to you for this. So if we are talking about short term and then going on to very briefly long term objectives to this Amorim project at United, what are some of the sort of fundamentals that you think are important for him to achieve at United in his time at the club?
Look, with Manchester United, there's always expectations that you're challenging for silverware. And let's face it, for all the deficiencies there were with Erik ten Hag, let's not forget that in two full seasons, we reached three domestic cup finals and won two of them. So even then, we were still doing that. I think with this season, if I said I think top four is still achievable this season, there's going to be some people that hear that and instantly think I'm insane. But if you actually look at the points column in the table, yes, we're 13th at the moment, but there's only actually a 4 or 5 point gap between us and third. Is how tight the table is at the moment. So for any team in that section of the table, you know, between ourselves and the top four, all it would really take was a run of, you know, three wins in a row, say, and other results to go in their favour to quite quickly start to climb the table. So if we can hit the ground running, it's not impossible. Although I think more likely route back into the Champions League is by winning the Europa League. And thanks to finally getting that first win at the fourth attempt, we're in a much better position to be able to finish in that top eight. And of course, once you get into that situation, it's knockout football, which we know we can excel in. In terms of long-term, you know, the club have gone on the record with this Project 150. And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, basically, the club have got a stated aim to be challenging for the league title by 2028, which is the 150th anniversary of the club, hence the name. And I think we've been quite smart in that, because that gives us the rest of this season to just, you know, see what's possible, allow Amorim to implement his system, see what we can achieve, and then give us another three full seasons to get to that 2028 point where I think we've got more of a chance of being closer to that point.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be an interesting end to the season for United, and it's going to be a big summer, and then we'll see what happens at Old Trafford pressing forward. But I think that brings us to the perfect end to the first Untitled Football podcast here on the deck. And we have been discussing whether we think Ruben Amorim will be a success at Manchester United. I'd just like to thank Matt and Shady for joining me today. I think your input and contributions and discussions have been top notch. So thank you guys. I really appreciate that. And like I said, we have been the deck. You can find more of us on social media. And until next time, we'll see you soon.